Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Screen Geeks Film Snob. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
This week, we are covering... He's known as a very good filmmaker, but I don't know if he's ever been called, like, a great one by, like, you know, the modern film geeks too much. That would be Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
Which, if you don't, you're missing out big time. This week, we're talking about probably the most influential film he made. And, like, in culture.
Certainly. This is a movie that we still talk about because it was so ahead of its time, and there are so many movies like it since then, and this really began this whole culture of a war satire, if there is such a thing.
Exactly. We're not talking about the Gold Rush. We're not talking about what modern times. We're talking about Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator.
Yes.
An absolutely amazing film because, yes, it's very funny. It pokes fun at Adolf Hitler. Should we go ahead and just start with the historical context first?
Please, yeah.
We got into the World War II in 1941, I believe.
41.
This film was released on October 15th of 1940, so a good little time before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And Pearl Harbor, wow, I'm just on crack, don't mind me. Before we got involved in World War II. Sorry about
that. Which began with Pearl Harbor. Hey, you're right.
That began our involvement.
Yes.
Yes, so that's very true. Okay. And, you know, and Chaplin was very much against Hitler. You know, he saw what kind of a monster he was, and he wanted to draw attention to it, so he made this movie. The main character, he plays two people. He plays Adenoid Hinkle, the dictator of Tomania. Instead of having the what's in German called the Hochkreuz or the Crooked Cross, they have the Double Cross. And he also plays a character known as nothing more than a Jewish barber, even though he's like one of the most central characters. And it's really interesting because it outlines by starting with the Jewish barber helping out one of the great German spies get out of the country, and to see the complete turnaround against the Jewish people. It was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chaplin at one point in his life did say that he is half Jewish, and he's certainly very proud of that element of his heritage.
And something that I didn't know, one of the reasons that this might have spurred something is because he and Mr. the aforementioned deceased rat bastard were born in the same week of the same year. So that's kind of
very
interesting.
Very weird. Yep.
Very interesting. Let's see. What's a couple? The other big parallel that's just funny is that they have I'm guessing it's supposed to be Italy in Mussolini.
Yes.
You have Benzini, Napolini, the dictator. Why do I always keep saying the director? The dictator of bacteria. And, you know, it's really interesting because they talk about some really disturbing things. They talk about the treatment of the Jews. They have people getting shipped off to concentration camps. And they make a joke of it. All the while leaving that complete subcontext of just how dark and how disturbing the subject is.
Yeah, and I'm sure for a lot of people, this was one of the first times they'd heard of this stuff, and what a better way to introduce it in a way of comedy, in a way that you could, you know, kind of be introduced to it satirically, but then realize that this, at the time, was a real serious, scary issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. This movie knocked me on my butt. I have to be honest. It's really funny. It's kind of like an okay comedy up through, like, the last 15 minutes, at which point there's a speech that's given, and it's really... I don't know that Chaplin really scripted that.
Mm.
If he did, he delivered it so well. It was so powerful and so stirring.
For a film that was his first talkie, his first movie with talking as opposed to just being a silent movie, it really hits hard.
Yeah, some of the silent movie stars kind of shied away from talking as much as possible.
And
he used the elements of the silent film comedy that he's used to, but he didn't shy away from the microphone, shy away from talking at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's profound stuff. The imagery has always stayed with me during this movie. I think my favorite is when Adenoid Hinkle is literally bouncing the world off his head and off his butt. There's this huge balloon of the world, of the globe, and he's literally
that's the one scene that most people
bouncing
know.
It off his head. It's such an iconic visual moment, and it says so much.
Yeah, Steph walked in the room just as he bounced it off his butt, and she said, "Wow."
Yeah.
But that's the scene most people know it for, but it really did, I think in some ways, it brought the German threat to the forefront of the American psyche.
Yeah, and again, in a way that was non-threatening, but in a way that we could see through comedy, but then go, oh, this is for real, this is serious, this Hinkle is clearly Hitler.
Oh, yeah, and you know they don't pull any punches like when they go into the ghetto where the Jewish people live and you got the stormtroopers marching around. They make a joke in that, you know, his love interest, his then-wife, Paulette Goddard, she like smacks one of them on the head with a frying pan, you know, to bring the comedic factor. But it doesn't pull punches as to just how disturbing and how messed up things were over there.
Right, right. I mean, Chaplin was always making commentaries of the things that really mattered to him. Modern Times is all about, you know, the industrial movement. You can go on and on. All of his films are talking about stuff that was very pertinent to his time. And this is, you know, the issue of that period. And certainly he does it in a way that is, as you've said, unflinching, but at the same time, brilliant in a way to bring a role on a comedic element to it. I mean, this is exactly what Mel Brooks did in The Producers. He makes Hitler look like a big effing joke, which he was, and does in a way that's brilliant, but at the same time, respectful of the people who suffered through the monstrosities of Hitler's reign.
Absolutely. If you were to compare it to a Mel Brooks film, I'd probably put it closer to Blazing Saddles, because sure. It takes a very disturbing, very, very disturbing problem in culture and just shines the light on it. And yes, they make a big joke out of it, but they don't, you know, they don't make the joke to belittle or diminish the importance of what they're trying to talk about.
Right.
And that's what makes this film so amazing, is that very rarely do you find a film, when they're trying to talk about something serious, either it's too overtly serious and preachy, or they take it too light and make too light of the actual context and the actual subject matter so that it makes the entire movie pointless.
Right, right.
And this really walked that fine line very well, I thought.
Definitely. I mean, everybody says how, well, you know, Life is Beautiful owes so much to this movie, but I'd say almost any comical anti-war movie owes so much to this, because really this was one of the first ones to ever do that. Certainly,
It wasn't anti-war, though.
Excuse me, not anti-war, but certainly in that category, you know, of like anti-dictatorship or just making a parody of a really dark, war-torn situation. And of course, but again, as you pointed out, I mean, this took place before World War II, so it is so prophetic in so many ways.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if we really want to get technical and say, like, you know, what it ties into, you could almost say it's like the scene in Hot Shots where Saddam Hussein is lounging is lounging on the Miranda by a swimming pool, and all of a sudden this huge missile like lands on his lap.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost that kind of thing. But I mean, certainly movies like MASH, movies like Catch 22, I mean, they owe so much to what Chaplin did, because again, Chaplin is making light, but at the same time making very pointed satirical barbs at a very scary problem.
Absolutely. It's very interesting. Let's go ahead and talk about the DVD release itself.
Yes.
This was put out by Warner Brothers. You can buy the two-disc edition still. There's like an Uber 3-disc edition that's out of print that you can find like on eBay and some places like that. But you have the movie, which is, it's in like 6 different languages, as well as a Dolby Digital 5.1 remix. I listen to the mono because I like listening to a movie how it's supposed to be made.
Nice.
That's just me. As far as special features, they have an entire documentary about the life of how the parallels between Chaplin's and Hitler's lives since they were born so close together.
Which, so creepy.
I haven't watched these yet. I just finally got around to watching this like this week. It's awful. Let's see here now. There's a production filmed in color. So there's actually some color footage that was shot on the set of the film, which I haven't seen either. But this is really worth it. You can pick it up for like $25. It's well worth the money. You have Charlie the Barber, which is 20 years before The Great Dictator. This was a scene shot by Chaplin for his short Sunnyside, but it was deleted from the finished film. So he'd done this 20 years earlier.
Wow.
And that's the classic. You know, it's also been done in Warner Brothers cartoons with the What's Opera Doc during the, yes, when they're doing the dueling barber chairs going up and up and up and up. That's right, where this came from.
Yep.
And then we've got a scene from a movie called Monsieur Vardou, and some scenes from the Chaplin collection, and then a poster gallery. So
that's awesome. Warner Brothers has really stepped it up ever since like Criterion has come and basically said, we are the king as well. Warner Brothers, like with the release of stuff like The Shawshank Redemption and The Mission and this and Once Upon a Time in America, they've really, really gone out of their way to make really special editions.
And the cool thing is that with every single Chaplin film that's come out from Warner Brothers, they've all been of this quality.
Great.
So well worth picking up. I actually personally got mine from, I'll just give the pimp out, from Columbia House. You can join up with their DVD club, and I actually got it as one of my 49-cent titles. So,
all right. That's well the, worth 49 cents.
Oh,
yes.
Dude, heck yes. Yeah. That's the way I roll. Or something, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say about it at all? Or
I remember even the first time I saw Charlie Chaplin as a kid, I thought, gosh, he and Hitler have the same mustache. You know, that always kind of struck me. So it's interesting that he makes this movie, which is really one of the great cinematic kick in the pants to Adolf Hitler. And I can't think of anyone who deserves it more. So God bless Charlie Chaplin in this movie. This is one of the great ones. And certainly, I mean, cinematically, you know, I think Modern Times is maybe even more brilliant in terms of how well it's made. I think The Kid is his most moving film. And, you know, Limelight, for how cheesy it is, it's a very well-acted movie. But The Great Dictator, I mean, if you've never seen a Chaplin movie before, you cannot go wrong.
It's absolutely great. Oh, and The Fooey, instead of The Fuhrer. The Fooey's number one man was garbage. You got to love little bits
like that. Good stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. But If you want to shoot us any feedback, go ahead and email us, Dave Barry, or podcast at screengeeks.com. And until next time, take it easy.